I found out that many people don't understand the love and grace of God. Many people even come to church on Sunday based on fear that if they don't come to church on Sunday, they might not go to heaven after they have died. Some people, after I visited some of you before baptism, explaining the meaning of baptism, I found out that quite a few of you thought if you are not baptized, if you are not baptized, and if you have the chance to be baptized, even if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will still go to hell. It's like someone who thinks, I go to a wedding to be married, a lady to be married to a man, the bride to be married to the groom, and then the bride thinks, I have to marry the groom, or otherwise he will kill me. The only reason that the bride wants to marry the groom is not to be killed. How romantic is that? It's totally unromantic. The main reason people get married and they want to have a wedding ceremony is because of the love they have for each other, not because of the fear that they have, and they have to remove that fear through their wedding ceremony. Similarly, baptism. We don't go baptized because if we don't go baptized, we'll go to hell, but we already have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He loves us so much that He died for us. And later on, we also learn His love from His day of birth and how much love He has shared with the whole world. That's why we want to appreciate the love that Jesus shared with us. We don't need to be scared of eternal death, to be separate from God once we have trusted Jesus as our personal Savior. The reason why we get baptized next Sunday, some of you will be baptized, is because we want to appreciate God's love. And we say, God, you love us so much, I no longer need to be scared of death. Okay, even I don't get baptized, if I'm sure that I trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and suddenly I die, I will still go to heaven. But you love me so much, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And I want to tell everybody about that. That's the meaning of baptism. See, many people do things out of fear. Out of fear of not being able to go to heaven, or out of fear that they might go to hell if they don't do the right things according to the Bible. But that's not the right motive for us to do things according to the teaching in the Bible. We don't do things out of fear. And today I'll share with you the story about Christmas, and you'll see that our God, how loving He is. We don't need to live in fear if we already have Jesus in our lives. Relationship with God is a romantic and loving one. We'll see through the birth of Jesus different aspects of our God's love. It's completely beyond our imagination. You cannot imagine that God will become a little baby in a manger later. But if we understand God's love for us, even starting from Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus, that will help us to improve our relationship with God. Our relationship with God will never be the same. So what is the God of Christmas like? It's completely beyond our imagination. We have an unimaginable God of Christmas. Why is our God totally beyond our imagination? First, next slide. Our God is a courageous God. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his hometown to register. So who is Caesar Augustus? He was the emperor of the Roman Empire from 27 BC to 14 AD. And what are censuses? Censuses were important for evaluating tax. What is tax? Some of us who have been working, you know you need to file income tax return. You need to pay tax to the government so that the government have the money to provide public service like roads and other services to all people in the country. But here, census had another purpose. It's for evaluating tax. It's because if you know how many people there are in the country who should be paying tax, and you look at the amount of tax you receive, you'll know whether you're receiving the right amount of tax. The Roman emperor wanted to make sure that he was receiving the right amount of tax. That's the source of his income. his money, where his money is from. But after further study on the background of this passage, and also studying Matthew chapter 2, that talks more about the background of this passage, and that it talks more about King Herod, because at that time, King Herod was the king of the Jews. After studying that, I found out that it was a very terrible and dangerous time for the Son of God to be born. 5 reasons. Why was it a terrible and dangerous time for the Son of God to be born? First, the common people in Roman Empire, most of them could barely make a living. They were very poor farmers, depending their daily living on agriculture. And yet the emperor was trying to get more and more tax from the poor people who already don't have enough money for themselves to make a living. Joseph, Jesus' future legal father, was a poor carpenter. So Jesus would be a poor carpenter's son. So Jesus was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He would be living a very poor life since childhood. Second, Mary, Jesus' future mother, would be treated by despise by people who thought Mary broke the engagement vow and slept with either Joseph or another man before the actual wedding day, because Mary was pregnant before the wedding day. And Jesus would be laughed as a little kid by those cruel kids. Kids sometimes can be very cruel. And adults laughing at, "See, your parents were not good. Before their marriage, they already had a baby, and there was you. I don't know even who is your father." So people might just laugh at Jesus. So Jesus must have suffered a lot from the despise from people. Third reason, if you study Matthew chapter 2, it tells us who King Herod is. King Herod the Great would be trying to kill Jesus, because Herod was a very violent and insecure man. Herod the Great, who was the king of the provinces the Jews lived, was a very violent man. He killed his own wife. He killed his sons, because he was suspecting that they were trying to betray him and take his throne as the king. So he killed his own family. And he heard about the prophecy about Jesus' birth. He knew that there will be a child who will be born, who will become the king of Jews. But now, he was the king of Jews. He did not want to lose his throne. So he tried to kill Jesus, after knowing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Fourth reason why Jesus was born into a terrible, dangerous time. Think about this world, not just from the physical perspective. There's also Satan who is in power. Satan knew Jesus was the Son of God. If you have read the book of the Gospels, it will tell you that the Satan's devils, when Jesus was trying to drive demons out of people, they could recognize Jesus as the Son of God. So Satan, the leader of all demons, knew Jesus was the Son of God, who would be the King of all kings and deliverer of his people, and the one who would judge Satan and all sinners in the future. What would Satan do? Satan would try to kill or ruin the work of the Son of God. Now Jesus would only be a fragile human being. See, God becoming a human being, so now it's my chance to kill you or to ruin your work. Satan thought he could succeed, because Jesus now is just a human being. Son's God becoming a human being. The fifth reason why Jesus was born into a terrible and dangerous time. Even if Jesus could survive all the above 4 miseries or threats to his life and work on earth, do you know who are the Israelites? They are God's chosen people. And yet, in the Old Testament, it recalls about how they once and again reject God's prophets to them. Prophets are people who tell God's chosen people a message from God, but they will reject the prophets. They will reject God's message. Do you think they will also accept Jesus? No, they will also reject Jesus. They will also reject Jesus' message. So Jesus will be facing all these 5 things that will make his birth in a time of the most danger for him. But then why would God send his son into such a terrible and dangerous time? God is the God who created the heaven and the earth. He has all power. Why didn't God make it easier for his own son, Jesus Christ? It's his visit. It's not from a foreign country to another country. He is the prince of the king of all kings. Why? Why make his visit to this foreign country so difficult and dangerous? Does any one of you want to be born into such a time and circumstance? So many danger threatening your life. It's like you could be born in a very safe and good place in Baton Rouge. I realized that after the news from last week that Baton Rouge, some areas are not very safe. You want to be born in a very good and safe place in Baton Rouge. But your mom and dad, before your birth, suddenly decided, we want to go to Africa, to go to a very poor country. And then you will be born there. And then you will be born. You probably will have questions. Mom and dad, why didn't you let me live or be born in a comfortable country like the United States in Baton Rouge and had me born in such a poor, miserable, maybe dangerous place in Africa where there might not be politically stable, and there might be wars, there might be famines. Jesus was born into a similar situation like that. But why? Couldn't God make it easier for his son? Yes, sure, but then why did God let his own son be born into such a terrible and dangerous time? It's because our God is a courageous God. For God had the courage to go through our deepest hurts. That's why he understands our deepest hurts. He always understands. Because he went through the worst of hurts himself by becoming a baby born into such a terrible and dangerous time. Our God understands our problems by going through the most difficult circumstances himself. And that's why our God always understands our deepest hurts and our needs. There's another reason why Jesus was born into such a terrible and dangerous time. God wants to show that his holy son is not receiving any favor from man. Seeing that Jesus didn't receive any favor, he did not have money, did not have power, he was born into a poor family with no power, no status. He didn't receive any favor from man. But he completely relied on his Father, God the Father, for God his Father's provision to accomplish the greatest mission impossible, the salvation of all those who are willing to accept Jesus as his personal Savior. So if we are facing an extremely difficult time in our life now, you might be in fear after what happened last week. We can completely rely on our God, and God will get us through them. Because according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Just run to Jesus with your deepest needs, for he understands and he has the power to help you. Life is full of sufferings and unpredictable accidents because of the sins and the power of Satan in this life. A little more than 1 week ago, Jennifer Lin, only 18 years old, passed away after a car accident. Jennifer actually visited us a couple of times during our English worship service. A week ago, Casey's schoolmate, Juan Carlos' mom, died after giving birth to a baby. So now Casey's schoolmate is without a mom, but with a new brother or sister. And I know a few weeks ago, a family here was broken into, but thank God, the whole family was saved. A few days ago, there were two PhD students at LSU who were killed. Even worse than that, the wife of one of the PhD students is pregnant with a baby. Now the future baby will be without a father. I know James' dad actually worked with one of the two PhD students. And one of us in the Chinese congregation, a professor at LSU, actually taught this PhD student. So even people close to us, they can experience such tragedy in life. It's not like it will not happen to me because I'm young. It will not happen to me because I'm living in a nice neighborhood in a safe country. No, it can happen to us anytime. Who knows what bad things might happen to us today or tomorrow? In this world, it's becoming more and more evil, because human beings insist on acting against God's will and live in sins. If you think more about it, we are not in control of our own life. We often think we are in control because we have a good, comfortable life, we have a good job, we can make good money, and we have a good school that we're going to, that we'll go to a good college and then make a lot of money, and then our life will be good, and we are in control. We only come to Sunday, a worship service, and after that, we live our own life. But we are not in control of our own life. Although we might be young, we might lose our life anytime. I found out that those who are older here, they might not be the first who will die. The younger ones, you might not live as long as those who are now older than you, or you might not have as many years left than those who are older. So don't think, oh, that person is older and he should serve God. I am young, I still have another time, let me have fun now and then I will serve God. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. We are not in control of our own life. But God knows what will happen tomorrow. And God is still in control despite the tragedies that happened recently. God understands what we are going through. And He will go through it with us if we are willing to let Him into our lives. Some of you might ask, why doesn't God come back now and just make peace and then judge all the sinners? It's because of His love for all sinners. In this world, He's very patient not to judge the whole world now, because when He comes now, many people would go to hell because they have not known Jesus yet and they have not trusted Jesus as their personal Savior yet. Jesus wants, our God wants, more and more people to turn to Him, to hear the gospel, the good news, and be saved, to have eternal life with Him. If you already have turned from sin to our Lord Jesus, you are secure in God's hands. Even if evil might kill your body, it cannot kill your spirit, because we already have eternal life. And even in suffering, God will make sure that we will benefit from that, because God is in control. He sees things from an eternal perspective, not just from a perspective of now. That's why we still have hope in life, even when we are facing the most difficult circumstances. Even though when you're walking on LSU campus and you are in fear that that murderer might appear and hurt you, we have hope in this life because of what Jesus did for us, because of what we would have, the life we will have with God eternally. Second, through Jesus' birth on Christmas Day, we realize that our God is a sovereign and promise-keeping God. We can trust God. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. In these few verses, they are a fulfillment of God's prophecy according to prophet Micah. In chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Hundreds of years ago, before Jesus was born, it was already told to God's chosen people where he would be born. Only God would know what will happen in the future. So, from verses 4 to 5, we know that God is a sovereign and promise-keeping God. He always fulfills his own promise for us. We can trust God. And we have hope in God. So what are God's promises for you? Do you know that? If you don't know, you should read your Bible. Because God has all the awesome promises in the Bible. If you are only willing to read that and know that that's for me, and have faith and confidence that God will fulfill his own promises for you personally, each one of us here. Certainly, the Christmas, the day that Jesus was born, Jesus' birth on Christmas tells us that our God is a humble God. Please go to the next slide. According to Luke chapter 2, verse 6, he says that while they were there, while Joseph and Mary were already there in Bethlehem, fulfilling God's prophecy that Jesus, the Son of God, would be born in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger. It's a box for feeding animals, because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus is the God who is greater than the whole universe, for he created the whole universe. I received an email from one of us comparing how small the earth is to, for example, the sun. It's so small. And then when you compare that to bigger areas of the universe, it becomes invisible. And even bigger, the whole universe is totally invisible. And yet God cares us enough that he even was willing to visit this invisible planet from above the whole universe. And yet how he was treated on the day of Christmas. I believe he should be treated better than the foreigner. According to a news article, when Queen Elizabeth II visited the United States, she brought with her 4,000 pounds of luggage. It's like moving from one state to another, and more than that. Because I have moved from state to state, all our luggage and furniture only weighed about 2,000 pounds. But she brought with her 4,000 pounds of luggage, including two outfits for every occasion, a mourning outfit in case someone died, 40 pints of plasma, and white young goat nether toilet seat covers. When it's cold, okay, you want to have young goat nether toilet seat cover so it becomes warmer, it becomes less suffering to go to the toilet. She brought along her own hairdresser, two car parking attendants, and a host of other attendants. Just a short visit cost $20 million. And yet the Son of God visited planet Earth, a small invisible planet in comparison to the vastness of the whole universe, and he became a fragile baby in an animal shelter with no attendants present and no beds to sleep in, but a box for feeding animals. They were probably more animal than human witnesses of Jesus' birth. And you know what? The donkey could have very easily stepped on Jesus and killed Jesus. Of course, our God was sovereign God and he's in control. He protected Jesus from all the dangers. But from Jesus' birth, in such a miserable condition, we can see that our God is an unimaginably humble God. He deserves the highest glory and honor. And yet he became in the most humble way. Do you know what's the opposite of humbleness? What is the opposite of being humble? Proud, prideful. The opposite of humbleness is pride. Pride is one of the most common sins that everyone should guard against, especially when you are doing well, when you think you are in control. Be careful, my friend, my brother and sister. You might be committing a sin of pride. And God hates pride more than any other sins. Do you know why? It's because when people commit many other sins, stealing, lying, it's often out of the reason to fulfill a need. But a prideful person says, I have no needs. See, I'm better than anybody else. That's what a proud person will think. In other words, this person is saying, I don't even need God. I can provide all my needs. I'm better than anybody else, and is better than that person in my class, or in my company, or in the church. Sometimes they become God in their own eyes. Although they will not admit that I am God, but look at the way they live their life. They just control their own life with no need to think about what the Bible teaches about how to make this decision or that decision. So they are God in those decision-making processes. I need to remind myself that the source of all my blessings is God, because I can be a proud person myself and ascribe all glory to God for everything good in my life. Humbleness is a character highly honored by God. For our God is a humble God, as said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, and take the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. As I was preparing for this Sunday sermon, I was reminded that our God showed his humbleness not only through his holy sons dying on the cross, his humble walk with God throughout his life, but also through the way Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. The day Jesus was born in an animal shelter in the most terrible and dangerous conditions. Have you thought about why would Jesus, the Son of God, come to visit us in such a humble way? God wanted himself to be approachable to all mankind, even underdogs in this world. Who is an underdog? If you have seen a dog fight, underdogs are dogs who are disadvantaged, who lose in a dog fight. And people use underdog to represent people in this world who are losers, victims of this world. The disadvantaged, the poor, the despised, the low in status, these are the underdogs. And we're all losers to sin. Actually, we're all underdogs. In order to be able to make himself approachable to all underdogs, God became an underdog himself. It sounds weird to call God an underdog, right? But God indeed became an underdog in order to approach us. All the underdogs, sinners, losers. And many of us may feel I'm a worse loser than others. I'm more of a loser than others. Then God is approachable to you, because he is an underdog himself when he was born on Christmas Day and when he was walking on earth. In all cultures, relationship with God is marked by fear. Let's look at the next slide. The fear one would have when visiting a king. In ancient times, if you were not careful with your speech and what you do before a king, showing disrespect, you know what would happen? In China, your head would be cut off. You would die if you're not careful when you're before the king. In the Old Testament, whoever saw the face of God would die. Whoever mishandled the Ark of the Covenant would die. Whoever was not the high priest entering the most holy place in the tabernacle or house of God would die. The Israelites dared not to pronounce or spell out the name of God. Instead, they have changed some vows in the name for God, and then they pronounced it differently, so that not only they would not pronounce the name of God out of fear for God, other people would not pronounce God's name correctly. Next, that they will offend God, and that we all don't deserve to call God by His name. See, relationship with God is often marked by fear. But in Jesus, God found a way of relating to human beings that did not involve fear. When you saw Caris, were you in fear? Caris lying very peacefully in the little crib. You will not be scared, right? You want to get close to the little baby. So lovely. When Jesus became a baby in a manger, nobody will fear God anymore when they see Jesus. Because Jesus has become known in status himself in order for us who are sinners and known in status to be able to approach him. Jesus' birth condition and his upbringing as a poor carpenter's son, being despised by people because of his mom's pregnancy before marriage, made him approachable even to the lowest in status in the whole world and the most despised sinners. This is consistent with Jesus' mission to the world, as said in the following verse, in Luke chapter 5, verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. Levi was a tax collector. Everybody hated tax collector. They tried to cheat more people, more money out of people, and then keep some of the money to themselves, some to the government. So those poor people, they really hated the tax collectors. And Levi was one of the tax collectors. He held a big banquet for Jesus at his own house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees, the people who were religious leaders, who thought they were almost perfect people on earth, they do everything right, they go worship God on Sabbath day and obey all the laws in the Bible, although in their heart they don't love God, and in their heart they sin, but outside they look very nice. And also the teachers of the law, they saw Jesus eating with the sinners, with the tax collectors. They complained to his disciple, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God has come to this earth in such a humble form in order for us to be approachable to Him, so that we have a chance to be saved through what He did for us on the cross." Very long time ago, there was a wise and good king in Persia. He loved his people. He wanted to know how his people were doing. He wanted to know even about their hardships so that he could help them more, help them better. He often would dress in clothes of a working man or even a beggar. And he would go to homes of the poor, and no one whom he visited thought he was the ruler, the king of the country. One time he visited a very, very poor man who only lived in a very dark, dirty basement of a house. And this poor man ate very coarse food, not very tasty at all. And this king ate the same coarse food the poor man ate. And this king spoke cheerful and kind words to him, the poor man. Then the king left. What happened after that? Later, the king revisited this very, very poor man. The king was expecting the poor man to react in a way to try to get more favor from the king. When he says, "I am your king." Do you know how the poor man reacted? Instead of asking for more favor and not a gift, the poor man said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others you have given your rich gifts. To me you have given yourself. That's more precious than any gift in the world." I know some of us, after receiving the wonderful gift of salvation through trusting in Jesus as your personal Savior, they would just stop there. "I have already received the most precious gift." And they don't spend more time with God, who is better than even the gift of salvation. After all, the purpose for us to have eternal life is to be spent with God. So what's the point if you have eternal life and you no longer even spend any time reading God's word, praying to God, no relationship with God, although you have received the gift of salvation? You have not something that's more precious, that's God himself. But this beggar, this very poor man, realized that to be able to be with the king, the most noble, that's better than receiving a gift. Our God is not only an almighty God, creator of the universe, and the ultimate judge of the living and the dead at the end of times. He is also a courageous God. He is a promise-keeping God. He is a humble and approachable God. He loves us. He desires to help us and be our best friend. He wants to be the best friend of all sinners, even someone as bad as a tax collector at that time. His love for us is demonstrated not only in how he died on the cross for our sins, but also the way Jesus, the Son of God, was born into this world in the most dangerous, miserable circumstances, so that he can be the Savior and best friend of sinners and underdogs of this world. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? We all are sinners. We all need God. We all need to have Jesus as our best friend, even after we have received him as our personal Savior, because he is better even than the eternal gifts that we have received. Are you now suffering as an underdog of this evil world? Maybe last week when you were suffering during the final exams, you feel like, "I'm a real underdog, no joy at all." Maybe some of you will face the same suffering in the next 1 or 2 weeks, those who are in middle school and high school. Or maybe you are facing some other sufferings. Feel free to share with us. We can pray for you. And God, he himself understands you. He will provide you your needs. And he will be your comfort and strength in time of sorrow and weakness. Jesus wants to be your best friend. But the question is, do you want Jesus to be your best friend? Jesus is always waiting there for us to receive him as our best friend. A best friend who will give you courage in difficult times. A best friend who will help us to live out his wonderful plans and promises for us. He will also help us to become a humble and approachable person, to also help others to have Jesus as their best friends. Let's thank God for protecting one of the family here from a burglary at night. But let's also pray for Jennifer Lynn and her family, for Juan Carlo, Casey's schoolmate. His mom died after giving birth to a baby. Let's also pray for the LSU PhD student's family. Let's pray now. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your birth on Christmas Day, we realize that you have entered into this sinful, terrible, dangerous world, all because of our sins. And you're so great, and yet you have become so humble, the lowest among us, and yet without sin. God, you have been through the most difficult situations, circumstances, even being threatened to be killed by King Herod. And yet by God's sovereign power, you were not hurt. And through all that, we know that, God, you understand our deepest hurts. You always understand what we are going through. Even when we are struggling, even with sins, you know that because you were tempted and yet you did not sin. And yet as a holy God, being tempted by sin, that's completely opposite of holiness, it was even harder. And yet, God, you have the power to triumph over sin, triumph over the hardships that we're going through. Not only that you went through all that, but you are sovereign and almighty God, powerful God. God, you are also a promise-keeping God. You always keep your promises for us in the Bible. So God, help us know your promises for each one of us by reading the Bible prayerfully through the Holy Spirit's help. We understand your wonderful plan and promises for us, so that when we are living our day-to-day life, when we are living our life, we are not even sure what will happen tomorrow. We can live out your promises, live our life to the fullest every day, to give glory to you, so that you will be happy when we live according to your design, and we will be blessed too. God, you are also a humble and approachable God. Make us humble. Make us approachable to those people among us, even those underdogs in our eyes. We are underdogs ourselves. And yet sometimes we think there are people who are lower than us, who are worse than us, we are better than them. Give us a humble heart, God. Make your love visible to these people through us. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.